Hello and welcome to Josh Peck Disclosure. I am very excited to welcome our guest, first time on the show, J.R. Richards, lead singer of the band Dishwalla, and is currently getting ready to release a solo album called Under the Cover, including covers of some of his favorite songs. He right now has four songs available for free at jrrichards.bandcamp.com, and you can pre-order the album now. I highly suggest you do that. Once you listen to these songs, you'll want to. In my opinion, he has one of the best voices in rock music today, and has since as early as the 90s. JR, glad to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to do this.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Josh. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So before getting to your most recent release, you were the singer of a band who had one of the most well-known songs of the 90s, Counting Blue Cars, which was a personal favorite of mine, still is. I still listen to it all the time with my kids. They love it. But for those who might not be familiar with your backstory, how did you get involved with music and what led up to forming Dishwalla?
Good question. I've been doing music since I was, before I could probably speak. I was singing and dancing, and I used to dance to the dryer and the vacuum cleaner when I was a child.
That's awesome.
But yeah, totally. It's crazy. But my father was a musician. My grandfather was a musician. So I just grew up around music and started playing piano at young. I started writing songs at 9 years old. Just something I just was always doing, and then went through quite a variety of different bands and things as I was growing up. And, wasn't until Dishwalla that it really felt like a serious band, and we really, really had a lot of great players and a lot of good energy. And at that point, we were lucky to get signed to A&M Records.
So how did that get started? Like, were you guys friends ahead of time, and then did you just start playing shows and you got discovered, or what was that process like?
Yeah, I Santa Barbara is a small community, and so the music community is really small. So, you know, everybody in the band I had either run into at one point. I mean, George, the drummer, the original drummer for Dishwalla, George Pendergast, he and I were playing in a band at 12 years old together.
Oh, wow.
So we knew each other quite, and, you know, we played in various bands after that and eventually got hooked up together again in my late teens, like 18, 19 years old, and that which ended up developing into Dishwalla. But yeah, you just kind of pick up people along the way, and it would be like, oh, you know, need a bass player. And George would be like, oh, I was in a band with this guy, Scott. And I kind of knew Scott because I'd met him a few times, and oh, great, let's try him out. And Scott was great. And it just kind of worked out that way. And, and then eventually we, you know, were working on songs. I, of course, was writing a lot, and the band would write together. And so we started putting songs together, and we just rehearsed. And, we've been, some of us have been playing together for quite a while now, I think, at this point. And we decided to take our time to really craft the songs that we had and get really good, you know, in our rehearsal space. So when we started playing live in Santa Barbara, we were already really tight and had our act together, so to speak, and quickly moved down to Los Angeles. And a lot of our audience from Santa Barbara would come down to Los Angeles to watch us play. So things happened quickly for us. I think we started to get some really good interest from labels. We had a actually pretty darn good sounding demo after doing about three or four of them that represented us pretty well. And then next thing you know, there's a bit of a bidding war over, you know, who's going to sign us kind of thing. And I was getting flown all over the place. But which doesn't mean anything. I realize now in hindsight, when you get signed, so many bands, you know, are popping the champagne and it's like, cool, we're going to be massive. And it's, you're still, you know, maybe 5% of those bands that get signed actually sell some records. You know, you're lucky often to actually record an album and have it get released, let alone actually, you know, have some true support that where the labels really follows you all the way through and gets you on the radio. And at that time, radio and MTV. So you have a chance. So we really had, you know, definitely the planets were aligned for us, and we did really well having, you know, a number one hit right off our first album.
Yeah, and that was pretty phenomenal because that doesn't always happen. And then you guys were able to lay. Are you guys still together?
No, we're not. I mean, band's gone through quite a few changes, and I actually left the band in 2008 officially. Guess that the band kind of broke up in 2000 and 2005. But you know, we've been through a few bass players, a few drummers, and then the band reformed again, in like 2009, I guess, so there was a bit of a like a 4-year hiatus. But it's interesting because I think the members now, like where Dishwalla ended in 2005, only two out of the five guys in the band then are in the band now.
Oh, wow.
So it's, that's, yeah, in terms of, how we were touring. So they have a different singer now and everything. So it's a bit odd, but the band still is, Dishwalla as its name is still going.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. Now, something I have to ask because my audience will kill me if I don't, and I'm personally curious too.
Sure.
What is Counting Blue Cars about? I'm sure you've never been asked
No, I have. It was one of the songs I wrote that, I thought was a cool song, but I didn't ever think was would be ever be a single. So I wasn't expecting to answer that question. And it was one of those ones I wrote it, and the band had a very cool, solid version, of it. And then, it was like move on to the next song. But I did write that about, it's kind of like a child's spiritual journey. I think, as a kid growing up, I think we're very open as children, and we tend to be told how to kind of shown how to lose our creative thinking a lot, because you're told that this is how something should appear to you. And the idea of, in this particular song, the idea of God was that God is always referred to as a man. And I think as a kid, I was, I never looked at it as either gender either way. So of course I flipped the gender to she as the pronoun, and thought, okay, that's kind of cool. Why not? What's your argument for either way? Didn't really think much after that. But I think that from a lyrical perspective, there is a huge amount of attention on that specifically. And I would say the majority of it being positive, but on the other end of it, though, I even got some death threats for using a female pronoun.
Wow.
But yeah, which is pretty crazy. And there were times where people would be picketing out front of our shows. So, you never know. It's like, and I never thought that that would happen or be such, be so under the microscope, but there it was.
Yeah, and I remember back. I mean, I was a kid at the time, but I remember back then when that song came out, and there was some controversy around it because of that line. I've always loved the song, and I've always taken more. Art is subjective. Our art can mean different things to different people, and to me, and I think this is why it has such a nostalgia attached to it, that specific song, because I've always taken it as, yeah, when you're a kid, you question things and you want to know things, and then sometimes you get pushback from that. And I think the whole controversy around that song was, at least the way I took it, was exactly what you were talking about in the first place. So I always thought that was really interesting. And for me, it was artistically, there were a lot of layers to those lyrics. I've always loved it. Now, I did want to ask, because you're just now putting out a new solo album. Now, what was the transition like from Dishwalla to doing solo work, such as Under the Cover, specifically with the music industry? What was the music industry like back in the 90s? And have you ever seen any major changes since that time?
In the 90s, it was really different because we kind of caught the tail end of that classic big labels, signing bands and all the money and flash that went on with that. And because labels really did control success as a musical artist. And the number one reason for that is because you basically, if digital downloads were yet to be, like something that was mass, iTunes hadn't been created yet. And so I think the only way you could get your album into a store was an actual physical store. So, and there's a limited amount of shelf space to do that, right? Every record store had, had a finite amount of space inside of it. So the label was really the one that had the power to be able to put your records in Germany or Japan or in Kansas City if you were a band from Santa Barbara. So the only way you could actually sell albums around the world was to have a major label deal. This is just that's it. Otherwise you're kind of resolved to just, trying to talk the guy at the local record shop to put your CD up on the counter, and that was it, or selling CDs at a show. So that's a big deal breaker. I mean, you can't really be an artist unless you can sell CDs all over the world. So that all changed in the 2000s when all of a sudden music became, you could buy it virtually. So now you have unlimited shelf space because it doesn't really take any space, right? And so you could start making deals with different companies to get your album, you know, up in iTunes. So therefore it's, you know, like now today you can go to a company like Catapult Distribution or DistroKid or CD Baby and have your album upload it and have it available in, you know, 130 countries in a day. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody can buy it. So that is probably the biggest change that I've seen. And it's probably the only reason that I can continue to still make music, because I'm not signed to a major label. I'm truly an independent artist. You know, but I can make my records available to everyone.
Yeah, and that's really cool too. I've noticed that. I work in television and I'm an author, so I publish books and stuff too. And I've noticed that in those industries as well, that the internet's really just changed the whole landscape. You know, back in not even that long ago in television, it was all about getting on, you know, cable networks and things like that. But now more and more people are going to things like Roku or smart TVs, and anybody you know, with not a lot of resources can put their channels up on there and just have their materials available for everybody. Same with books, especially with you know, like Kindle books and stuff like that, but even on the print side of it. So it's really an interesting landscape. I kind of like it too, because it increases competition, so you can really see who the best of the best is, and I think that's why you're still thriving, and that's great. Now the four songs that you have available for free, they are phenomenally performed, expertly recorded. I have a background in music too, so there's little things that I listen for, you know, when I'm listening to music, if I decide if I'm going to like it or not. And I mean, this is like a 10 out of 10. What made you pick these specific songs to offer people for free, and how are they significant to you personally? For those who don't know, the four are Many Rivers to Cross, One More Try, Hallelujah, and With or Without You.
Right. Well, I would say most of the songs, it's going to be a 14 or 15 song album. So that's a pretty long one, right?
Yeah.
I would say most of the songs are songs that just mean something to me as I grew up, you know, and I'll probably, in the liner notes that you can add with it, I will be, you know, adding specific reasons why I might do a song, you know, for example, it's like, With or Without You, I ended up, I hate karaoke. I'm terrified of doing karaoke. And
oh, that's interesting.
Right. And I ended up drinking too much sake one night, and with Rob Thomas, believe it or not, and ended up going up and singing our own songs at the karaoke place that night. But then people didn't really know who we were. So I ended up going up and singing With or Without You. I thought, oh, what the heck? I'll try a U2 song. And it was like, which is a song that I love, but I actually went up and sang it. And I was like, wow, this feels really good to sing. So I've always kind of covered it, you know, just acoustically on guitar over time. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to do a cool version. What I hope is a cool version for this covers record.
Yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal. And you know, of course it's a very popular U2 song, so I've heard other covers of it and stuff, but there's something unique about the way you do it. Also same with Hallelujah. That's something else that's been covered a lot. And you know, there's a lot that are great and, you know, some aren't so great, but this to me is easily top five, easily probably even top three for me. What made you pick that one?
You know, that was a song that somebody, a fan friend of mine, had suggested that I do, like requested it. You know, she'd come to a bunch of shows and said, it'd be really cool if you did this version of this song. You know, I think your voice would suit it. And I remember thinking, God, you know, Jeff Buckley did such an amazing version of this song. I don't know if I can do it justice like that. And then, of course, it was in Shrek as well, too, which is another kind of cool version. The Leonard Cohen version, even though it's such a great song, great lyric and everything, was always a bit odd to me. But when Jeff Buckley did it, I was like, wow, this could be, you know, it's amazing what an artist can do to it. So I started doing my own thing to it, found a version that was kind of, I felt like was my own way of doing it, and have been, again, playing it off and on live, and decided to add it just because it, you know, again, felt like, you know, the song had become, you know, like that version of my own, it kind of felt like my own thing. So it seemed like a good candidate to put up.
That's fantastic. So what I found interesting about this is you say on here, these are some of your favorite songs. And I've actually found a lot of my favorite songs in here too. My top three favorite songs of all time are in no particular order, Counting Blue Cars, Black by Pearl Jam, and Have You Ever Seen the Rain by CCR. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool to see that you have You Ever Seen the Rain and Black on here. I can't wait to hear those. Let's start with the CCR one. Was there some significance to that? That's a little bit of an older song.
Yeah, it is. That's one that my father would play all the time, full blast.
Same,
you know,
here.
And,
same
in
here.
The house. Yeah, and just completely rock out. And you know, I always listen to it and picture this black man, you know, singing these songs. And I until my dad's like, no, he's white. Here's the album. He looks like a total Southern white boy. But, you know, but my dad, this guy is just a monster songwriter and with a monster voice. And yeah, Fogerty is just cool, man. And so I grew up loving that song. My dad would play it too. So, you know, I'd get that version of it as well. And so, yeah, it's just one of the songs that's dear to my heart. I know it inside and out. So, yeah, it's just a fun song to sing. So I had to be on the album.
That is awesome. Yeah, Black to me, Black by Pearl Jam, I think it was their best song off of their album 10. One of the best songs that they've ever recorded or performed even. And there have been a couple of cover attempts. Like, I know Aaron Lewis covered it. A lot of people liked it. I personally didn't really care much for it.
Right.
It's because the best part of the song, the whole ending, was removed. And I thought, man, there's a lot of opportunity where you could really do a lot there. So Black for you, what's the significance there? Why'd you pick that one?
Well, twofold, because, I mean, obviously it's one of those songs that it's probably one of the most recent artists or albums, because most of the stuff that I chose was, you know, pre-1990, but even though that came out around 92 or something like that, I think that album, but I would consider it one of the newer. A lot of the artists that are closer in time of songs that I like, I feel like they're just too much of my contemporaries, or I feel a bit odd about doing it, you know, just because it's a little too recent. But but Black is a fantastic song. It's probably one of my favorites. And then the thing that cinched it was I have like a fan subscription thing that I do called The Green Room. And so I took it to them, you know, to the folks that are in that who are obviously listened to me since forever, you know. And so I asked them, what do you think that I should cover? And so that one was one of the songs that kept showing up over and over and over again. And so I was like, I got to do this one. So that was a big part of it as well.
That's fantastic. What are the details of the fan subscription thing in case people want to join up or get involved somehow?
Yeah, it's kind of, again, another new way of making music and where the fans really support you by helping you, you know, fund your own projects and maintain, your ability to keep creating art. The fan subscription thing, I have one called The Green Room that's at my Bandcamp site, J.R. Richards Bandcamp site, and you can sign up for it. And there's a couple different tiers or whatever. But, you know, as little as like $8 a month, you know, and then you're also a part of my creative process. So I'm constantly putting in updates about things I'm working on or things I'm doing, you know, whatever it might be, you know, doing stuff with my wife or my kids or just working on material or in the studio or saying, hey, help me. I don't know what songs to cover here. I want to do a covers album. I'd love to hear your suggestions. And I have an intro too, because one of the songs that's going to be on there is When a Man Loves a Woman by Percy Sledge, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. But I have two different ways two different intro ideas, one that's just piano and then the band comes in, or one that starts with the band and drums and everything and then the vocal comes in. And to be honest, I love them both. I can't figure out which way to start. So I have a poll now where, you know, I ask them to help me decide.
That is really cool. Not a lot of musicians today take that much of an effort to be, you know, that active with their fans. I think that is fantastic. That is really cool. You do have like classics like Unchained Melody, and like you said, When a Man Loves a Woman. Were those songs that your dad would listen to as well?
Yeah, my parents, my dad, especially my dad is hugely into the music thing. And so those are just songs that I grew up with that I just absolutely love. And I think, you know, they've been around long enough that I think it's okay to go and try to do a version, because most of them are truly perfect as they are. And I'm not trying to beat them in any form or fashion. I'm just, you know, trying to pay homage to them, I guess, in my own way.
That's really cool. Any of these musicians, do you know any of them personally? And did you have to like ask permission, or what do they, do any of them think anything about this cover album? Like Eddie Vedder, for example?
I doubt It's on Eddie's radar. I've never met Eddie Vedder. I don't think I've met anybody from, which is probably, I think if I knew any of the guys, I wouldn't want to cover it. So
it'd probably be weird. But
yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of great songs been written about some guys, but I know, but I just would feel a little too odd covering their song. But yeah, so I don't know anybody, and it'd be, you know, be interesting to see what they thought. I mean, I'm covering a song by Queen and covering a song by George Michael too. So unfortunately those guys have passed, and I mean, some of the songs are old enough to where, you know, the original singers probably, some of them aren't around,
right?
But hopefully they're, you know, they wouldn't be, you know, haunted by my version.
Well, I, you know, just based on the four that I've heard, I mean, it is phenomenally done. I really think that people who, you know, on this audience who follow this show will absolutely love this. Now, it's available for pre-order right now. Where can people get it, and when will it be available?
Right. Again, it's available on my Bandcamp site as a pre-order, and then you get, like you said, you get four songs away. You can stream the four songs right now without having to pre-order. And then you get the album as soon as it's released. It's just sent, the whole thing is sent to you. My release date, I just had to move it down just because it turns out it looks like I might be moving.
Oh, okay.
Unexpectedly. But, right now I think the release date is October 8th or 9th. Yeah, forgive me. I'm not sure.
I have it up. It says October 8th.
Okay, October 8th, yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, it's hard to hold those dates down. I'll do my best to get it done. I am kind of a one-man band right now. I do have a few people joining me on it, but I'm doing most of it myself, all the recording, the mixing, you know, playing producer on as well. I was covering almost all the instruments in a lot of cases. So, but I do have, you know, people I know and friends that are joining me on a song here or there covering for Steph, because I can't do everything.
Right.
You know, I definitely lack in certain areas. So it's, you know, but, you know, that's why I want it to feel solid. And some of the songs are real simple. They might just be just an acoustic guitar and vocal. I think the Jimmy Cliff song, Many Rivers to Cross, is just literally me and acoustic guitar. It seems to work really well. But some of them are certainly more involved, like the U2 tune has got more going on. And, you know, trying to keep the energy level up and down so that there's a nice variety.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking on your on the site, and it was, I had to smile when you said that you can't do everything, because it says JR vocals, guitar, piano, bass, drums, keyboards, programming, and percussion. But that's what makes the pre-order so important, because that helps fund getting this project finished, right?
Right. Yeah. Because, like, for example, on Unchained Melody, I do want to have real strings on it, but you know, and I can't play violin to save my life, or cello or anything like that. I have to, you know, I would love to bring some great players in, which I do know, but it's expensive. And when every time I have a, you know, if I'm not playing, well, even when I'm playing drums on it myself, that's an expensive endeavor, because I can't do it in my own studio at home. I have to go to another big proper studio, because it's a lot of microphones and gear that's involved in recording a drum kit specifically. So, so that gets really expensive as well. So, you know, but the pre-order really helps me cover those costs, because I don't have a label that's putting up the money ahead of time.
Awesome. And yeah, people should check out jrrichards.bandcamp.com. You have over 20 different albums on here too, so people can check out your other music. Man, you have been busy.
Yeah, I know, there's a lot of material there. So, and there's of course all the Dishwalla stuff, which is not on there. That's obviously, you can buy that from, you know, you can get that anywhere, but the Dishwalla stuff. But I did five albums, Dishwalla? Five, yeah.
That's what I have on my phone, so yeah.
Five albums. So, but yeah, I do a lot. I re-release a lot of, even of, because I've done three solo albums so far, plus a Christmas holiday record as well, and then quite a variety of alternate singles of songs, as well as just, you know, one-off songs that I've done as well too. So I try to stay busy and make sure I'm releasing stuff on a regular basis.
That's really cool. Well, that leads to my last question. What is next for you? Where are you hoping to take your already stunning career in music?
Well, I mean, you know, I hope to keep being able to afford to do it. So, you know, keep, I'm working on my third solo album that's all original material right now. I'm kind of a quarter of the way through that while I've been working on this covers thing. So I'll release the covers album. I'm hoping to do some touring. And while I'm also then work on finishing this next solo album that I hope to put out next year. So, yeah, just trying to keep myself busy and keep giving new things for people to listen to, as well as get out and hopefully play as much as I can. So I can actually shake people's hands.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. So, hopefully I'll get out your way.
Yeah, definitely. If you're ever in Missouri, let me know. We'll have you out for steaks and pool or something. But, yeah, so, well, I appreciate you taking, sorry, what?
Steaks and pool, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I got a pool table, and we're very into grilling and stuff. It's Missouri, so it's kind of part of the culture, but yeah, let me know. But, well, this has been fantastic. Thank you again. Once again, the website is it just jrrichards.bandcamp.com, or do you have a central hub website?
I do have a jrrichardsmusic.com also too that will bounce you to my Bandcamp site. Sometimes that's easier to remember, but yeah. Then other than that, it's it would be my JR. It sounds like you know it better than I. The JR Richards Bandcamp site. So.
Well, and I'll put the links in the description below. So if you're viewing this on YouTube, just go into the description and you can click on the link to pre-order the album. You can check out the first four songs and, see if you like it. And if you do, go ahead and pre-order. Well, I hope we can have you back on when you release your next album next year or when you start touring. We'd love to help you promote that as well, 'cause that would be pretty cool.
I'd love to be back on, man. I really appreciate, the time.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank all of you for watching and joining us on another Josh Peck Disclosure. Until next time, take care and God bless.